Now the fun begins.
Bridget.
Stop! You violated the law.
Welcome back to another episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to subscribe to us, rate us, review us, all that jazz. Any way you can interact with us, do so. We really appreciate it. Wherever you get a podcast at. And if we're not on that platform, let me know. Get us on there. We want to cast the net as wide as possible, you know? And, of course, follow us on our socials, specifically Twitter, at GPGC Podcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games like, and our dope giveaways. As always, I'm your host, Travis White, a.k.a. Travelist, on most internet platforms. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit. I'm still getting over a little bit of a cold that I have. Not COVID. I tested negative. We're all good. Everyone, pitchforks down and weapons down. But my voice is a little, obviously, a little strained, still getting that back. So bear with me a little bit. Actually, I may sound a little more rugged. So That'll actually play into my favor when I'm talking about one of the games I'm playing. But anywho, as always, like I said, I'm your host, Travis White, a.k.a. Travis on most internet platforms. Joining me, as always, my partner in crime, the second part of the dynamic duo. Yeah, that makes sense. Mike Peapack. Mike, of course, as always, what's good? What's going on? And what have you been playing? And, you know, I've been thinking of, like, I think we've done a really good job of, I think, as this show's evolved over the past few years, of, like, kind of bringing in more of our personalities, I think, into, like, just, like, not just video games, but, like, life in general and, like, talking about things that kind of mold us and shape us and our interests and things like that. I've been kind of, like, spitballing and kind of toying around with the idea of throwing in kind of, like, a question of the week kind of thing that not doesn't necessarily have to deal with video games, but just, like, you know, pop culture, life in general, things like that. And I was thinking about this the other day. Because obviously it's probably going to all circle back to video games at the end of the day, just because that's how our fucking lives work. We're full grown, you know, man children who will never stop playing this shit. So it's just all going to circle back to that. But I was thinking back on, like, you know, music that I liked, and I was like, there's a lot of music that I like associate with video games and stuff like that. And that made me kind of start churning. But then I started thinking of, like, I saw somebody on Reddit get a tattoo of an album art cover or something from an album art cover of a band I like and whatnot. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm like, I don't know if there is, like, an album out there that I truly love enough that I would get, like, something like that on. Like, there's probably a band or something out there. But I was thinking, what's an iconic, like, a couple or just one even, like, iconic album artwork that you, like, look at and you're like, that to me is iconic to me, or that stands out? And maybe, like, it could be industry-wide or just to you, I guess, but like I was thinking, one of the albums that I always think of is like Life's Not Out to Get You by Neck Deep. Like, that to me is iconic. It's probably not iconic to, you know, the vast majority of people, but, like, that album and that artwork is iconic for that genre of music. Like, if I think of pop punk, I think of that album, like, period, like, just instantly modern pop punk. I go to that. What shapes you as you're doing your intro and whatnot? What do you think? Like, what are some iconic album artworks? I also think the Halo 2 soundtrack, iconic album artwork, because it was the same as the Steelbook that you got for the limited edition. I always thought that was cool.
Yeah. For me, I would say, like, the first thing that comes to mind just off the cuff, I agree that Life's Not Out to Get You, definitely one that comes to mind, especially because I have, like, the stat track kit for CSGO.
Fuck yeah, same.
Even though I haven't been playing, but you know how that goes. I still have that stat track kit as my MVP anthem, but I would give an honorable mention to, like, Tech N9ne All Sixes and Sevens. Just because I really like that album. But the one that, like, jumps out at me immediately is Morning View by Incubus. That's probably the one album art cover that you know, I think of when I think of like what's one of your favorite albums, and like not only is it your one of your favorite albums, but it also has awesome cover art. That would be it.
That instantly takes me back to like junior high, like. Or even early high school too, just because I'm like, I didn't listen to Incubus as much as you, but I did like Incubus, don't get me wrong. And like, mm-hmm. I always think of Wish You Were Here when I see that album artwork. Like, iconic song, like, incredible song, my favorite song, one of my favorite songs of theirs. But that album artwork instantly, like, takes me back to that time of place. Like, no fucking worries, like, turning that on, turning on, like, my old ass, like, bulky iPod that I got for Christmas, like, and just fucking jamming to, like, that era. Like, that era of, like, alt music is just fucking perfect. Piggybacking, though, off of All Sixes and Sevens, that is another, like, transformative, like, fucking album for me. Because instantly when I think of that, I think of freshman year of college, sitting in my dorm room playing the anniversary edition of Halo CE and going through the campaign mission, or going through the campaign and listening to that album just like on full blast, like bumping, probably getting like somebody pissed off and telling our RA about it, like I'm sure, but just fucking bumping that album playing Halo, like just chef's kiss. Like,
perfect. Yeah, it was pretty, it's pretty incredible, honestly. And, you know, just had a lot of good memories, a lot of fond memories of that album. But the album cover, like the album cover art isn't like as iconic to me as Incubus's Morning View. So that's the one I would go with. As far as gaming's concerned, kind of switching gears just a little bit here. I really haven't been doing too much gaming outside of like my normal rotation, which has included Weed Shop. But like outside of still spending some time on Weed Shop, getting into like more of the end game content, which includes like being able to make like vape version of like the weed, and being able to make like waxes and stuff like that. You know, I've just been playing a lot of Halo 2, kind of getting involved in Halo 2. And then outside of that, really just been, you know, outside of those two games, I guess you could say, the only other stuff I've really been doing in my free time is like playing a little bit of chess here and there just for fun, because the FIDE Candidates was happening. But studying a little bit of poker just because I was playing again here and there, and just doing some of those things with my free time. Unfortunately, gaming's kind of been letting me down a little bit. So, you know, there's those ebbs and flows in life where you spend a lot more time playing video games than others. And this is a time in my life where I'm spending less time. Also, doesn't help that I did travel back to Pennsylvania for 4th of July. So, you know, whenever you're traveling, you don't have a lot of time. So,
yeah, no, definitely. And we all go through those stretches. I mean, life just gets in the fucking way sometimes. It's I mean, I had one of those like a couple weekends ago. It seems like it's weird. Weekends always used to be my like that, like, and when I'm talking the past, let's just say the past like 5 years or so, like, weekends always used to be my, like, I know I, no matter what, I'm able to at least get 1 or 2 days, like, I'll still play games throughout the week, like, during the week and stuff like that, but I know I'll have, like, a nice chunk of games at a time where I could, like, sit down and sink into a game for a handful of hours kind of thing throughout the weekend. Like, I know that I'll have that time. And it seems like the past, like, 6 months or so, that's kind of been flipped a little bit, where it seems like my more dedicated time for gaming seems to be weekday nights, that like I'm still having that time during the weekend. Don't get me wrong, from, you know, more often than not, but more often I'm starting to find more and more that like just life shit keeps popping up where it's like, oh, I figured I'd be doing this, but here, you know, my wife wanted to go and do something else. And, you know, we wanted to go and do all this. And I like obviously need to be a supportive partner and do like all these things that I just want to do as well. But it just goes to show you there's not enough time in the fucking day, period. Like, I think we should all figure out a way to like pull some fucking like Armageddon shit, like the movie, not, I don't want to blow the planet up or anything, not like actual Nostradamus shit, but like the movie Armageddon, where they have to like delay that asteroid from coming in, you know, the one with what's his name, Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck. But like something to that level where we send people up and like try to figure out a way to like slow the rotation of the earth or something. I know this is completely wrong, but I'm just saying Galaxy Brain style, like, fucking Looney Tunes physics are being used here to slow it down, just to give us an extra, like, hour. Like, that's all I'm asking for, is, like, an extra hour a day. Let's just do 25 hours a day. Like, I think that's acceptable. I think that would, I think more people, it's like the thesis of, like, you know, most modern workplaces should probably be on a four-day work week, because the amount of work that you are doing compared to the time you are there probably justifies it. And you're more likely, you know, from, you know, surveys and tests being done, that people seem to be more active or more productive when they're giving a, you know, on a stricter time frame and a more condensed time frame and, you know, focused and whatnot, like on something like that. Let's just do that. Like, if we're not going to go that way, let's just fucking slow the earth down. I mean, I'm fucking cool with that. You know, fuck it.
That'd be sick. For me, I just think, like, the four-day work week is the thing that we really need to get to.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But no, I agree. I think we're at that point now where there's too much data that backs just the thought alone of attempting to kind of transition that way. And clearly, like, even to, like, remote work and whatnot, like, we've seen with so many industries that in a post-COVID world, like, there's no reason why, you know, a lot of professions, I don't want to say all professions, because some professions you physically need to be at the, you know, job to perform it, but there are so many professions out there that just are clearly able to break the mold and perform the job either remotely, you know, by remotely, something like that, where you're, you know, working, you know, in and out of the office, like some form of that. Like, it's just, our society needs to be much more transformative than it really is. Let's just be honest. But anyways, yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, it just happens sometimes where I wish I could just sit here and play video games all day. It just doesn't fucking happen all the time. Like, being an adult, we were talking about this before the show started, being an adult sucks. Like, the idea of having the freedom to go and do things, that's awesome. All the caveats that come with it, like working and paying taxes and paying bills and just bullshit that comes along with it, fucking blows. It all fucking blows. Like, it's fugazi. It's all fucking fugazi.
It doesn't help that, like, a lot of people would argue, I mean, the early 2000s, late 2000s were definitely, like, a super awkward time, just society and everything involved. But at the same time, I feel like we kind of have it we're in a weird situation where, as millennials, but we're a little bit older millennials, I guess we would be considered a little bit older millennials. I don't know. Uh-huh. But, you know, we kind of saw the rise of a lot of different things, like Xbox Live coming, like video games being primarily played on couch versus moving to online, AOL Instant Messenger. You know, we've seen this transformation in society, and I feel like we're kind of, I feel like, speaking for me personally, I might be, you know, projecting to others, but I feel like I am just burnt out of, like, change. Like, not just saying, like, oh, this is changing or that is changing. I'm just saying, like, all my life, we've always had these, like, transformative, like, we've had things happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's and I'm not even talking about, like, wars or anything like that. I'm specifically talking, like, just how society functions on a day-to-day basis. We've had all these changes constantly since we were kids. Mm-hmm. Things have just always been changing. And I know things always change, but it does feel like, with the dot-com boom, with everything just kind of ramped up in intensity and changing. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I just feel like I'm a little bit burnt out on, like, it doesn't help that being an adult's tough as it is, let alone everything changing. But, you know, video games definitely going to in a worse direction than previous doesn't help either.
No, definitely. And you also got to think, too, like, I'm right there with you in terms of being burnt out, but I'm more burnt out on the top. More so the talk of change. Like, all we hear is change, but I never see it, like, any action. It's because primarily the U.S. is just so entangled with the network of bullshit that goes on with our politics that everyone is just built, everything is built up to keep positions of power locked up and on either side. That's not Republican, Democrat, whatever. Like, it's just built to keep, for people to just kind of hog power and not worry about doing anything actually with that power. It's all built around taking the longest possible amount of time to enact change, where people just are like, okay, I guess that's not happening. We're moving on. You know, it's all fugazi, like I was saying. But I'm right there with you in terms of that. There, it's like, I'm tired of all that end of talking about change and kind of doing the bare minimum to attempt that. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's just exhausting after a while. It's like, I'm ready for the change. Let's stop talking about it. Let's actually do it. And more so doing it in a meaningful way. Like, let's take some proactive things instead of just talking about it or talking how ridiculous that sounds or, oh, that can't happen for another 20 years. Okay, why can't it? What can we do to improve that? What can we do? Like, I'm all for that. And like, but what you were saying about, like, it's interesting to think about, like, the crux where I think our generation, that in between millennial and Gen Z, kind of like, because it's like you were saying, it's hard to, like, we're not Gen Z, but we're not that millennial age bracket that's now, you know, probably closer to 40 than 30 or getting there.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, we're kind of stuck in the middle, kind of like what fucking J. Cole talks about in Middle Child, where he's like, I'm not an old head rapper, but I'm not a new school rapper. Like, I'm kind of stuck in this weird generation, like the in between in a way. But it's so interesting to think about where this generation that we're in, we've experienced such a boom and such an accelerant growth in tech that it's like more so than I think anybody. And I think that's where it's kind of like in front of our eyes flashed a little, and we're so overburdened with the change because it's happening so rampantly, at least in our time frame of, you know, the last 30 years, where you look at somebody who's, you know, probably a little bit younger than us, they have now grown up completely engrossed in what is, you know, pretty similar to what we've seen, like the stagnant idea of what a smartphone is. You know, they've had that now for quite a while comparative to us, where that really came along in like late high school, you know, like even, you know, maybe even a little bit later. Like, I didn't get my true first smartphone until I was graduating high school, like, or, you know, going into college, like, where there's been kids who have known that's the only thing they've had, where like we've gone from the bricks to the flip phones to, and not even like the Razor flip phones, I'm talking the old school Motorola flip phone, like, you know, and seeing that growth along the way, same with like PCs and computers and tech. It's just like, it's just crazy to see, like, we went down a rabbit hole with this one, but like, it is crazy to fucking like think about all this shit. And like you said, like with video games, it's like, it's crazy to see where they've kind of gone in good and bad directions that we've seen, because it's fucking wild to say the least.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like part of growing up with the like life kind of switching to short form content also, like, if you think about it, like how short people's attention spans have gotten to where everything is catered for short attention spans, you know, advertisements, things of that nature, TV shows, you know, they don't really fall victim to it as much, but there are other things where it's like constantly things are just being thrown at you 24/7. Whoa. It's a lot to take in. So I feel like the burnout just kind of happens like with technology, kind of with everything too. You know what I mean?
Right. No, definitely. And it's just, I'm really interested to see what life is going to look like in terms of like what we expect now is like the basis of tech that we have in 10 years, like comparative, and if that accelerant's going to keep going as fast as it was and the growth keeps maintaining that speed, or if it dips off, like if we plateau a little bit. Because I feel like we're even kind of like with like some consumer-based technology, we've kind of plateaued a little bit, where we get to like, and it's kind of like what a lot of people talk about with like gaming tech and stuff like that alone. Like, well, we're getting to a point now where so many 3D like the big thing was going to 3D and going to, you know, improving the graphical fidelity of 3D in terms of the models and things like that. Well, we're kind of at a point now where, you know, how much better is it going to get until technology truly rampantly like makes a jump? Like, where we're doing more AR focused things and whatnot, like where it is integrating tech with real life in terms for entertainment, like at a consumer based level. But like, what do you do with, you know, that, or what do you do now in the meantime to improve that? And it's, you know, ray tracing, it's DLSS, it's all these features that come with, you know, the newest GPUs and things like that to help amplify the amenities of the like fidelity that is around it, not necessarily improving. Like, you can only improve the textures and texture quality and the, you know, model quality itself and animations and things like that. But after a while, it's like, okay, we've reached a point now where until we get, you know, tech that's more accessible at a consumer grade level, we can't do anything. Until we could fit all this shit into a box that they can put under their TV, we're kind of stuck. Okay, what can we do with the parameters that we're in now? And it's ray tracing, it's DLSS, it's improving performance, like things like that. That I'm just curious to see how long this kind of small plateau lasts, or if it kind of gets bigger. But anywho, though, on my end, at least from what I've been playing, I've kind of been balls deep into that Red Dead 2 replay that I was talking about last week. Started out and really kind of started scratching that itch that, I'll be honest, I never thought I'd really go back and kind of get balls deep into Red Dead 2 again. And that is, like I said, it is, like I said last week, to me, that is the perfect example of a game to show or to showcase whenever making the argument video games are art, because that is the best case example, in my opinion, of this is art. That I think it is still one of the most interactive and immersive and just intertwined worlds that you can explore in the medium. Like, for example, it's crazy to look back and see like how different of a player I am even from when I first played that game to now, where at that time and point in time when I was playing Red Dead 2 for the first time, I still loved exploring open worlds and stuff like that, but at that time and point, I was more focused on like playing a lot of linear experiences. So I'm doing, you know, mostly golden pathing, I'm doing other stuff, yada yada, but now going back in and actually, you know, kind of cracking open this game a little bit more, and it is also making some of the shortcomings of how you interact with the main story and missions and stuff like that. And that's kind of for another discussion. But the way I'm approaching the game now makes me kind of realize there's this whole other level. Like, when people talk about this game as the world that you're or at, talk about this game within its context, within its world, and why it's so important to games and why it's kind of hasn't been rivaled in outside of maybe Cyberpunk. There's a reason why. And for example, so there's a whole bounty system in it that you can go and you can do bounties and, you know, go and track down criminals and take them in and collect a bounty for it. One of the really unique things that I think is interesting is there's also other bounty hunters out there. If you want, you come across them and they're stealing, you know, they got a bounty that they're taking in. If you want, you could just fucking shoot them in the head, take the bounty and go turn it in yourself. Or you could, if you want, like, for example, found a guy, similar situation, two bounty hunters taking him in. I stopped them, talked to them, and like buddied up to them. And then whenever they kind of turned away, I just shot them both in the back of the head and took the guy. And the guy's like, oh, thanks, thinking I'm going to release him. I release him, interact with him, start talking him up. And he was like, started alluding on to like, yeah, I did kind of do it, after he was like, no, I didn't, you know, yada, yada. And his story wasn't matching up. So then I started letting him walk away. And then I just fucking hogtied him again, put him on the back of the horse, took him in. And, you know, in the whole time, he's like, wait, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you going that way? No, we're not going. Why are we going back to the prison? Like, what are we doing? Like, that. It really makes you think of and appreciate how much from just a like programming in and just from the web of just interconnectivity of nodes that need to be connected while making this game. Like, I can only imagine just looking at it in like a blueprint on not an Unreal Engine game, but looking at the blueprint system in Unreal Engine and it being just fucking 6 miles long because of all the interconnectivity and all these systems that have to work just perfectly intertwined with each other to make something like that happen in that big of a world. It makes me really appreciative of all the bullshit the Rockstar devs had to put up with getting this game out. I mean, it's nothing could be said other than they shouldn't have had to work, you know, required overtime and 80 hours a week and crunch to lead to get this game. But the amount of work that did go into that, it makes me appreciative of that. Like, that there is this piece of art that they can point to and say, you know, better or worse, this is what the result of it. And it's clearly just a knock, just fucking crushed it out of the park. But that's been kind of hog tying my time up. But outside of that, Molly and I, like I mentioned last week, we've been slowly kind of chipping away at another Diablo 3 playthrough, just because it's an easy couch co-op game to get into. But at the same time, I've also played through that game how many times, and she hasn't before. So it's a little like, yeah, we could play. Yeah, you know. But it still is fun, you know, to do it from whenever you just kind of want to turn your brain off and play through something that, you know, sure, isn't her first time playing through it. So she's excited to play something that isn't necessarily a game that requires a lot of, you know, has this buried entry that's 10 feet tall that I can just hand her a controller and be like, really, if you want, just hold in X and you can attack. Like, that's all I need you to do for, you know, the early part of the game. That it does kind of help. So we're having a good time with that nonetheless. But anywho, Mike, let's head into our stories for the week, our big topics. And lo and behold, it just happens to be about Rockstar and Red Dead and GTA and where we're kind of at right now with Rockstar. And I did not mean for that to happen. It just fucking naturally happened that I was playing a fucking Rockstar game. And lo and behold, we, you know, Rockstar's in the news again, yet again this week. And this time it's for cancellations, but are they cancellations in a bad way necessarily? So this report comes from Kotaku by Zach Zweisen, and it's titled Red Dead Redemption GTA 4 Remaster Shelved After GTA Trilogy Debacle. Sources tell Kotaku that Rockstar Games is focused on GTA 6 and not the past for now. As I said, link in the description, as always. So let's dive into it. Following recent rumors, Kotaku can confirm via its sources that Rockstar Games is currently focused on developing Grand Theft Auto 6 and has shelved all remakes following the poor reception of Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition. Yesterday, a tweet from Tez, an often reliable and trusted GTA insider, caught the attention of many Rockstar fans. According to the tweet, Red Dead Redemption and GTA 6 remasters were no longer, quote, on the table, possibly due to the horrible mess that was last year's GTA trilogy remakes. While some question if that was true, I can confirm that Tez's tweet is accurate and lines up with what I've been told. The tweet is quoted as per a reliable source with clear and accurate or clear accuracy on Rockstar's plans, remasters of GTA 4 and Red Dead 1 were on the table a few years ago, but Rockstar chose not to proceed with the projects in mind. The poor reception of the trilogy DE might be a reason behind that decision. According to sources with knowledge of Rockstar's plans and future projects, the publisher is hoping that folks will forget all of the critically panned and botched classic GTA remasters released last year, while it focuses most of its resources and energy on its next big game, Grand Theft Auto 6, which Rockstar earlier this year confirmed was in development. However, with the current plan, while the current plan is to get Grand Theft Auto 6 finished and out the door, I'm told a Red Dead Redemption and GTA 4 remaster aren't entirely, quote, out of scope and could still happen in the future after GTA 6 ships. Kotaku has also contacted Rockstar Games for comment. Last year in our report confirming the existence of the then-rumored GTA trilogy remasters, we also explained that at the time Rockstar had planned to remaster Red Dead Redemption. At the time of the report, the idea of remastering Red Dead Redemption had been on the table for the publisher for a few years already, but now, in the wake of last year's remasters flopping and demand for GTA 6 growing, the publisher has shifted plans again and is moving forward to the next big thing and not looking back at the same time. At the time of the report, I was told by sources that the reception and sales of the remasters would play a big factor in future projects. And kind of piggybacking off of that, this is another story coming out literally today from Games Radar by Dustin Bailey, is always linked in the description. Rockstar's killing, quote, major themed content updates for Red Dead Online as it focuses on GTA 6. Rockstar has announced that it's, quote, making some changes to how we support Red Dead Online, including the end of, quote, major themed content updates as it moves its development resources towards GTA 6. In a new blog post, Rockstar says that, quote, over the past few years, we have been steadily moving more development resources towards the next entry in the Grand Theft Auto series, understanding more than ever the need to exceed players' expectations and for this new entry or next entry to be the best it can possibly be. And as a result, we are in the process of making some changes to how we support Red Dead Online. Red Dead Online will continue to receive monthly event highlights, highlighting various activities in addition to, quote, seasonal special events and experience improvements, as well as expansions to existing modes and new Telegram missions. However, Rockstar says it will only deliver these smaller updates, quote, rather than developing major themed content updates like previous years. Players have been unhappy with the state of the game for some time, launching the, quote, Save Red Dead Online campaign and making enough noise to provoke a response from Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick, who said, quote, I've heard the frustration. Fans have even been making plans to host an in-game funeral for Red Dead Online on July 13th, and while that might have seemed premature a few days ago, many are now convinced that this is the final nail in the coffin for the game. So, it's also, we need to keep in mind as well as we're kind of looking at this, that is not the case for GTA Online, because GTA Online is incredibly, incredibly popular and will continue to get updates. They've confirmed that that is going to be moving forward, but I think this is a very interesting, we're at a very interesting kind of junction with where Rockstar is now in Grand Theft Auto in general and just kind of their output of games. So thinking about it, let's look at it this way. Red Dead Redemption 2 came out now almost 4 years ago. And while I can't confirm that game is still fucking fantastic to play, it holds up, obviously holds up, quote unquote, really well, that I don't even think you can use that terminology yet, but we haven't. The one thing that people just always clamor for is GTA 6. That is the one thing that is rumored most when you look at Reddit, 4chan, whatever, like wherever you get your gaming discussion at, you're always seeing quote unquote leaks and rumors and sources and stuff saying that about GTA 6. It's the most rumored game. It's the most hype game outside of, you know, and it's more, I should say, it's definitely more, you know, the hype is more palpable for that than, you know, if you think of other hugely anticipated games, you know, Elder Scrolls 6 or something like that. Like, GTA 6 is the game that people are waiting on in terms of that big third-party title. Mike, is it, since we've kind of been in this, like, just spinning wheels for and spinning tires for now, you know, a couple years, with the way this information's coming out now, and even earlier this year, hey, we're getting official confirmation from Rockstar. Yes, it is in development. We're working on it. We are in active development on Grand Theft Auto 6. We're working. Work is being done on it. With the way that this trajectory is kind of going and the information we're getting now, I don't want to say is, should it be expected, but is now the time to say, okay, we should start, you know, anticipating news, or even just, we should start getting in that mindset of, no, this game is actually going to come out eventually, whether it's good, bad, or what, indifferent, but it's okay to now start maybe shifting your mind to, yeah, that's that game that's way out there in the distance, to now kind of being, you know, no, we should probably start expecting within the next year or so, like, some updates on this game and where it's at and what's going on with it. Like, where do you think Rockstar is right now? And do you think that's justifiable to kind of, for fans to finally start saying, yeah, I should be expecting updates on Grand Theft Auto 6 now? Now that this development pipeline has funneled into pretty much one project now, you know, I think we should start hearing from it.
Yeah. You know, first and foremost, obviously going to express a little bit of disappointment to hear that, you know, there might have been some Red Dead content that was coming as far as a remaster is concerned. And they've since scrapped the idea. Obviously, understanding from a business standpoint how big of a disaster the Grand Theft Auto remakes, like the trilogy was, obviously still going to be a little bit disappointed to hear that news. However, when it comes to GTA 6, this is something that a lot of people are probably going to be pretty excited for. And for me, realistically speaking, if the entire studio is focusing on one project, obviously we have no clue how far along this project really is. I would imagine if they are scrapping literally everything else to produce new GTA content, there might have been like a, I'm guessing there was like a breakthrough of some sort, whether it be engine wise or technology wise, that is going to allow them to do what they've been wanting to do, if that makes any sense. And to me, it feels like people and fans of the franchise should be getting news or information about this soon. I would say within a couple of months, as far as where GTA 6 really is. You know, it's on one hand, it's really a shame, because Red Dead 1 specifically, holds a very near and dear, spot in my heart. And I spent a lot of time on that game and loved it. You know, but there are a huge conglomeration of people who are really looking forward to getting a new, GTA. Uh-huh. And for me, you know, that to me is something that, I can respect and I can understand. I just, you know, I think, you know, when you shelve literally everything else, and focus all of your attention on one thing, especially when you've printed money. So you've printed so much money from GTA 5. I would say like you need to get an update on maybe not gameplay, but like quote unquote engine footage or whatever they do when they're showing stuff off. You know, I think you should be seeing that, you know, within the next few months, but I'm curious to hear, you know, what your opinion might be on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm right there with you that, you know, I it sucks first and foremost that we're not getting a proper, whether it's, you know, remaster, remake, what have you, of Red Dead Redemption 1. I think that game is hindered on platforms that it probably shouldn't be. It's not on PC, period. There's no PC port. There's no nothing of that, where we've seen that really come to fruition on really all of Rockstar's games since, you know, I mean, GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas, GTA 4, GTA 5, Red Dead 2, like all of these games have come onto PC platforms, especially to, I mean, Christ almighty, they have their own fucking launcher. Like, Rockstar is very active on PC is what I'm trying to say. And it's shocking that we haven't gotten that. My mind kind of wanders to why is that not possible in terms of a development end and porting it? You know, from what I remember, not that, you know, there was a true lead platform, but most things of that era were built with the 360 in mind, first and foremost, because of all of the issues that developers had developing on the PlayStation 3 with the, what's it called? It's going to bug me now. It's on the tip of my tongue. The cell processor for PS3 that a lot of people had issues developing for, being very proprietary for that device. So I wonder if it has to do something with that, something with how specifically that game was coded or built around in general, that for some reason it has issues being, you know, kind of stuck in that generation. But at the same time too, I could also throw my fucking Xbox 360 copy of Red Dead Redemption into my Xbox Series X, and it boots up just fine and plays just fine, and guess what, there's even a fucking 4K update for it. So, but the fact that the only way for people on other platforms to play that is either by, well, now it's just PlayStation Plus. You could do it, PlayStation Now is built into PlayStation Plus or the new PS Plus, that you can go in there and stream the game because it's on from PlayStation 3 and there's no emulation of PlayStation 3, so the only platform you could play that is modern is on an Xbox Series X or S or Xbox One, obviously, but or its original platform on 360. But point being, there's no outside of that, there is no easy way to access this game. And to me, that is absolutely bananas that we don't have access to this game. Now, I know the PC port of Grand Theft Auto 4 isn't very good, at least the vanilla version, from what I remember hearing. And I know that was had to be taken off because there were some licensing issues, I think, with music, that it was delisted for a minute. And now I know it's back on because I almost, to be honest, I actually almost bought it on the Steam Summer Sale because it was like $4 or $5. But I didn't. And I think because I thought, I'm like, well, if this game's kind of like the state of this game is kind of booty right now, I'm not going to, I'll wait till maybe there's a re-release or something down the road if I really want to play it. But it does suck because we talk a lot about game preservation and making sure these games are accessible and not having something like, and I think it's, I think for a studio like Rockstar, that is pretty paramount. Or at least I would hope that's pretty paramount considering these are games that are staples of generations of games. We're not talking about, you know, yes, I still stand by, like, yes, if somebody put a game on a platform and it's not available anymore, that's still something that somebody worked on and that should still be accessible for even just the history of video games alone for preservation, from a preservation end. But clearly there are some more, you know, there's some anchoring titles that hold a little more weight to that argument. And I feel very safe in saying that Rockstar has quite a few of those, specifically GTA 4 and Red Dead Redemption. And having those titles in specific states that make it hard for people to access them, these paramount and, you know, tentpole titles, that's an issue. But at the same time, too, I get it. Like, I get the reasoning why, and I would even say, like, in terms of why they're deciding against doing that, I get it. Like, I don't agree with how those games came out in terms of the GTA trilogy remasters that came out. They were very low effort. The way that they went about doing them was very poorly, and was very involved with, if I remember correctly, the mobile ports of the game and like upscaling them or something. Like, it just didn't work. It wasn't, they should have done, if they were going to do that in the whole split of, you know, yeah, we're going to improve some gameplay elements, but we're going to try to keep some of the, you know, some of the art style the same while also modernizing it. It just didn't work. It was either you got to remake the games and build into a specific art style, but from the ground up kind of thing, or just remaster them, touch it up, leave the same assets, but make them nicer, you know, clean them up a little bit, yada, yada. But this kind of half in, half out approach that they did with that clearly wasn't the play. So, you know, my mind also thinks of, well, you know, what would have been the state of these remasters or remake, whichever road they went down, remaster or remake, what would the quality of those even be at that point? Like, is that something that I would want to see them do with these titles? I would be more in the camp of just remastering them, making sure they're available on, you know, modern platforms in general, specifically PC, Xbox, and PS4. I mean, period. They should just be available on those. But looking towards the future, though, like I said, GTA 6 is just, I think this is the one game that when people talk about, like, oh, this game's overhyped, or oh, this game isn't going to live up to expectations, or yada yada, that is the one game that I think, that, well, I shouldn't say one, because I also think you could throw Half-Life 3 into that camp, that I just don't think, no matter what you did, it could live up to expectations. But that being said, if I'm a GTA fan, and I'm more of a Red Dead fan than GTA, I still enjoy GTA games. I still play all of them that come out. Like, I still enjoy Rockstar games. So even if they do feel, from a control standpoint, a little dated at times, I still enjoy them because I think their writing is top-notch. Their worlds are immersive. I enjoy living in those worlds when I play them. So, you know, as somebody who enjoys these games and looks forward to the next one that comes out, I am happy to hear that, hey, we know we have to knock this out of the park. We got to focus all guns are pointing now on, all cannons are pointing right now on this target, and that is GTA 6. We're focusing all of our energy, funneling, you know, as much energy as we can into one secular area, and that is GTA 6. And we're talking about a lot of studios who overtake Rockstar Games. You know, so it's like Red Dead. That's an all hands on deck game that all studios are working on, that no matter what. It isn't just, you know, the main Rockstar studio or something like that, which I can't even remember what their true Rockstar. I'm going to actually look it up now because they have a fucking multitude of them. I think it's Rockstar North is the one that's like the main one. Yeah. Yeah. New York. Right.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, the main one, yeah, there's the main, like, publishing end of it, which is in New York City. But then Rockstar North is in Scotland. There's Rockstar San Diego, which is in Carlsbad. Toronto, Lincoln, Leeds, New England. Then there's the international ones, India and London. Like, it's fucking, there's how many of them? Vancouver. and I think obviously a few of them have closed. Like, I think Vancouver is done. Vienna's done. But I think the rest of them are up and running still. But yeah, so there's a multitude of studios who are under Rockstar's umbrella. And clearly with a game as big as like GTA Online alone, they need it. So to me, though, that makes me feel better in the future of, okay, I think we should be okay, or I think we should be in somewhat of a mindset now that if they're coming out and, you know, granted, they haven't fully commented, I believe, on officially, hey, we're not working on it. We don't have any plans for, you know, GTA 4 or Red Dead Redemption remasters or whatever. We're focusing on GTA 6. This is all sources and stuff like that, but from reliable sources. Not to mention, though, that they did also say, hey, we're focusing support from Red Dead Online away from that onto Grand Theft Auto 6. So, you know, to me, though, that is what I want. If they're going to even attempt to get close to what this game has in terms of its expectations, now is the time to focus all guns on it. And now is the time to also, I think from a fan standpoint, want to know what is going on with this game. I think it's justifiable now. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, where to me for a long time, yeah, a year or two after Red Dead comes out, no, I don't expect to fucking hear anything about GTA 6. I don't, because GTA 5 is fucking selling like crazy. More people than ever are playing GTA Online. Like, why would they go out of their way to, you know, make this their sole focus right now? Let their two entities breathe still, because GTA fucking 5 has been out for almost 10 goddamn years and still is one of the best-selling games out there. Like, why the fuck would they right now? Like, but after a certain point, you're working with a fucking game that is 10 years old. Like, you need to update some of it, the basis of it. You need a new platform to kind of do that with. You know, it. You gotta move forward at some point. But I also get it of, like, it makes sense not to fucking do it, because why, you know, don't try to fix something that isn't broken. Like, people keep buying it. But I think now is hearing this and hearing this plan, like, I think it is okay for fans now to start saying, okay, when should we expect to see something about this game? When should we expect to kind of have an idea of when to, you know, play this game? Like, is this a game that has been in development since, you know, or at least full development, quote unquote, since, you know, at least the end of production for Red Dead 2. So we're talking 4 years ago. Like, is this a game that has been in active development for 3 or 4 years? And we may see it, you know, and sure, pre-production, I'm sure, was before that as well. And that's all, you know, you know, the bandwidth of that is all over the place. You could change development pipelines whenever, terminology for stuff. But, like, at what point do you look at it and say, like, you know, this is a game that would have been, by the time it comes, you know, that fans should expect in 2 or 3 years? Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for next year, you know, whether it's next summer or it's next, you know, holiday or whatever, you know, or fuck, even at the Super Bowl or some shit like that, where a moment that all eyes are on some and you get a fucking 60-second teaser for Red or for Grand Theft Auto 6. Like, I don't think that's out of the question now that they are being this vocal about this entity existing, because they really weren't that vocal with GTA 5 until they just fucking dropped the trailer for GTA 5. And we're just like, here's GTA 5, see you next year. Like, so on the second part of that, though, with Red Dead Online, I fucking feel for people. Like, I do. I feel for that fan base who plays it. I've never gotten into either GTA Online or Red Dead Online. Those are these two franchises are very much single player franchises for me. But we had, you know, friends who played GTA Online. We have friends. We did have, I mean, Mike Collins played Red Dead Online pretty frequently when it first launched.
Yeah.
I know him and Shay were really into it. So we know that they've had a dedicated fan base. It's at that point where I kind of worry a little bit of, like, I love the idea of Red Dead Online when it first came out of, like, that's awesome. They're doing the same thing. They're giving the same treatment to Red Dead that they did GTA, that they're going to have this be more of a platform for this game moving forward. You know, hopefully that doesn't split the fan base too much, but it didn't, and not in a good way. It mostly not a lot of people, you know, or I shouldn't say not everybody gravitated. You know, it wasn't a fluid transition back and forth between the games. Mostly people just stayed with GTA Online. But that does suck for, you know, the people who are playing GTA on, or Red Dead Online. I'm curious, actually. I'm going to look up on Steam just what Red Dead Online, how many currently are in-game just on Steam. Don't warn me again. So there's like 3,000 people right now just from Steam alone on Red Dead Online. You know, you throw in Xbox, you throw in PlayStation, you're probably looking at somewhere between, you know, 75 to 10 at one time. You know, is that justifiable for you to spend that much, all those resources, both, you know, financially and physically, between, you know, on actual human beings working on this game, that they could be working to make sure GTA 6 is as close of a experience to the expectations as people have? Like, you know, it makes sense. Like, it just makes sense to me. I think the biggest thing that, like, I just get out of this is, this to me says that something with this game is, something with GTA 6 is, I don't want to say impending. I don't want to say, like, hey, this is, like, it's here or we should expect it soon. But to me, this says, like, okay, anything is fair game now. Like, we're talking about this game. We're fucking acknowledging this game's existence. We did already. Like, but we are now talking about this game as it actually being here. I mean, this is like, you know, fucking Bethesda talking about Starfield, talking about Elder Scrolls 6, like them saying, yes, it exists. Like, don't be shocked if we finally fucking talk about it more. Like, you know, sure, that may not be for 2 years, but now is the time where I think fans should be allowed to be like, okay, they're moving assets around. They're moving, you know, whether we're talking actual, like, human assets, or we're just talking, like, fucking, like, actual assets, but it's moving towards this game. They're funneling activity towards this development activity towards this game. Like, I think it's acceptable to start questioning, hey, when should we expect this game? Where is this game at? You know, if in 2 years we haven't seen this game, what's going on with this game? Like, I think that's where it's okay to start asking those questions, because, you know, now they're being vocal about where this game is going or where this project's going. And I think that's the most important thing. But at the same time, too, this is a huge fucking game. This is probably the biggest game of all time. Like, realistically, when this game comes out, this will probably be the biggest game of all time. And I'm saying that by, you know, financial numbers, by copies sold, by anticipation, probably. I mean, it'll probably be the most expensive game of all time, I would imagine. And that's saying a lot because we had Halo Infinite this past year. So that's saying a lot. But for what I think a lot of people expect the scope of this game to be, it will be the biggest game, whether I like it or not. You know, like, it's just going to be one of those things that it's just going to overtake everything. And like I said, I think it's one of two games that probably just have no chance of living up to the expectation that people have. And that's, you know, this and Half-Life 3, where I would not be shocked if they come out with Grand Theft Auto and they don't name it 6. Like, if they just come out and it's Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Like, they're just doing Vice City again. Different, but, or Grand Theft Auto something. Or just Grand Theft Auto. Like, it just comes out and it's like a God of War 2016 thing. Or, you know, they're just coming out and they're making a platform that is Grand Theft Auto. And it's single player and, you know, online built together, like something like that. So it's just like Half-Life 3. We're going to get another mainline standard version of Half-Life, not a non-VR version, like just like you would, like, imagine Half-Life 2 and Half-Life 1, those, you know, standalone versions. But I can't see it ever being named Half-Life 3. It'll be Half-Life 3, but it won't be Half-Life 3 because the expectations for that would just be too colossal. So anywho, Mike, let's move on to our next story. And of course, like we say every week, it wouldn't be an episode of GPGC if we wouldn't be talking about Halo in some regard. But this time it's actually like relatively good news. It's actually like news that I am genuinely kind of excited to like hear, because I am excited to play something like this. So the famous Halo 2 E3 demo, if everyone remembers the what's it called? The fucking A, where they go to the Earth City. That's it. Where the Earth City demo that they showed off at E3 in 2003, I believe. That will be coming playable soon, thanks to 343. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale over at IGN, as always, link in the description. 343 Industries is recreating the iconic E3 2003 Halo 2 demo, there we go, in the Master Chief Collection as part of a larger modding project to revive caught content. The Earth City demo never made it to the final version of Halo 2, but was universally considered a spectacle at the time, with IGN saying, quote, "There's little in the 8-minute demo that isn't worthy of awe in our original preview." As outlined in a Halo blog post, it's being made playable for the first time as part of the Dig Site project, which will also bring back pre-release content from the original Halo Combat Evolved. This will include a ton of different assets, including previously unseen models, vehicles, NPCs, weapons, and even levels. Earth City headlines the package, though, finally letting fans have a shot of the famous demo after nearly two decades. While 343 is definitely hoping to bring it to each version of the Master Chief Collection, it said it, quote, "can't make promises about bringing it to consoles. This is because it's particularly difficult undertaking." Quote, "This was not a trivial process, and we should probably layer on a whole page of caveats that come with taking a demo map for an engine that no longer exists and getting it to not blow up the current light mapper, the blog post said. The Master Chief Collection was released in 2014 and has received pretty significant content updates since then. So, kind of an easy way to cap the end of the show, Mike. But this, to me, I think is a nice little... I don't want to say this because I don't want to go necessarily easy, because I'm with you. I want to hold their feet to the fire on the status of Halo Infinite and everything like that. But this sounds like just a win in general for 343 for once, where us, the fans, are getting more content for no additional cost, you know, and that's obviously a big concern. But kind of like what we were talking about previously with preservation, it's important to, I think, have these things available, whether it's through actual playing or actual some way of showing off these assets, almost like museum style of what are we going to do with some of this cut content. I always think of Ocarina of Time, and everyone always talking about there originally was a way for you to get the Triforce in that game and this and that. Like, that was always the lunch table rumor, and so many people have always taken to the internet to talk about that, and that there were specific assets that were found in the game's cartridge that weren't included in the final build and this and that. And, you know, things like that, that, you know, how do we kind of showcase those things? Because I think it's important to the story of those games, whether it's the game franchise project, whatever, that I think it's in store. I think it's important to telling the story of whatever that is down the road. And I think this is a really cool idea that they're doing with this dig site project, that they're wanting to make this stuff that is integral for the most part to the story of Halo because of, I mean, really with the Earth City demo, how, I don't want to say infamous it was, but the sole fact that they made this standalone, this pretty much standalone slice of the game that really took, you know, what, the major, almost like half of the development time of the game alone to develop, to then turn around, not be able to fit it into the project. And like, what that meant to the actual story of developing Halo 2. So, you know, stuff like that, I think, is really important to make sure we have available. Is this something you are planning on playing, Mike, or getting into? Or, you know, what's your kind of read on this, you know, given the current status, I guess, of 343 and Halo in general?
Yeah, I don't think so. I guess maybe I'll give it a shot, but it's just... I can't just be complicit in the in this shit anymore. I just can't do it. And yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's definitely a an awesome thing to see. It's an awesome demo that they kind of showed. I remember whenever it was first showed after playing Halo 1 for many years. But, you know, 343... continues to lean on the legacy that Bungie left behind to try to hold on to any bit of relevance in gaming with Halo. And I'm just not buying it anymore. I'm not putting up with it. You got to come up with your own shit at some point. The old stuff is terrific. It's wonderful. But you can't make these types of maneuvers after the shit that you've been pulling and expect people to just be, you know, really excited and be like, oh yeah, like, that's awesome. So pumped about it. I'm not saying it's not like a good thing overall.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of it, man.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm tired of talking about this studio. It's just so bad. Just overall just tired of it.
Yeah. And I get that. And, you know, to a large degree, I'm right there with you. I probably will go back and play this, just for the fact of, I think the development story around Halo 2 continues to be so fascinating, and really, you know, kind of could be just like its own, like, how do I want to put this? It could be its own, like, thesis and, like, study alone of game development and what not to do, but mm-hmm. also at the same time, you know, kind of being the showcase of proving what can come out of, you know, these turbulent situations and ways to, you know, if your game is struggling to get, you know, if you're experiencing pipeline production issues or, you know, deadline issues with a game, how to, you know, how the games could actually still be come out and be successful and be, you know, these incredible experiences we can get, and trying to find ways to do that. But there needs to be a huge asterisk on that, for the fact of, I mean, those guys basically lived at their computers for like a year, and that's not good. I mean, that's just not good. You don't want that. But at the same time, too, would Halo 2 have been that, you know, been the game we got if it wasn't? But at the same time, too, if they wouldn't have made that Earth City demo that they did for E3 and focused so much of that time and effort onto that, instead of into actually making the game and really finishing, you know, the idea of the game that they had in mind originally to what we got at release, like, you know, that probably would have solved a lot of that too if they didn't do that demo. So I just think the whole story on that development is fascinating. If you can check it out, like, seriously, go on YouTube. There's, you know, you'll find dozens and dozens of, you know, video essays on it, not to mention the documentary of making Halo 2 from the original, like, collector's edition of the game that came with it on DVD. Like, go check that out. It's really fascinating. But yeah, I'll probably jump into this. I can't remember when they said it's eventually coming or whatnot, but I would love to see just kind of how it runs and what they had to do to get this running. And, you know, because it is like they, I do stand by them by saying, yes, it is. It, I can't imagine it was an easy undertaking, because that's like taking a fucking like peg that is shaped with 1,000 different points in, you know, try to shove it through like a square like opening. Like, I'm sure they just had to fucking at some point just smack the shit out of it just to get it to work. Like, it sucks, but that's, I wouldn't be shocked if this thing is like held together with like gum and a couple pieces of shoestring and like maybe a paperclip or something. So I am excited to see that. So anywho, though, Mike, I think that's going to do it for our episode this week. Why don't you tell people where they can find you on the internet? Talk about all we talked about. Red Dead 2, Red Dead in general, GTA and where Rockstar is going. Halo, like we always seem to talk about. Where can people find you online to talk about everything?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TOYSXLDIER. That's Toy Soldier in the second O's and X. Or you can find me on Twitch at MP_ToySoldier.
Nice, nice. And as always, I'm your host, Travis White, a.k.a. Travless on most internet platforms, including at Travless _ on Twitter. That's TRAVLESS_. You can also find me streaming time to time on Twitch.tv/Travless_, same as Twitter. And if you want to play some video games with me, you can do so at, over at just regular old Travless. That's TRAVLESS. And one thing I do want to point out before we do wrap up, I just want to give a shout out to all of our friends over at Game Informer and GameStop as well. But they're currently experiencing massive layoffs from what it sounds like. Game Informer is a very pivotal magazine for me growing up. I know, same with Mike too. We're children of that era. But not to mention too, now, you know, really kind of being ingrained into this industry and, you know, interacting with a lot of those folks, reading a lot of their work now, and, you know, pulling from a lot of them and getting to know some of them. My heart goes out to a lot of people who really, once again, it seems like GameStop has done them dirty. You know, and, you know, anything that we can do to help you, any, whether it's venting through DMs or, you know, the door's always open for getting on the show. More than happy to help out anybody, put a good word in, yada, yada. But more importantly, my heart just goes out to those people, because that group over at Game Informer is incredibly, incredibly talented. You got guys like Wesley LeBlanc that we pull from all the time, who is one of my favorite writers out there in games. So, you know, it's just tough to see yet again that, you know, we're seeing, you know, these conglomerates in these large-scale corporations, which, you know, GameStop has its own issues at hand and whatnot. And, you know, whether we're talking about financially or the stock market or whatever, that's a whole different story. But at the end of the day, once again, we have to remember people are involved in these, and especially companies like GameStop with multiple subsidiaries and whatnot. You know, there's people who are involved within that, in that extra web too, that a lot of people don't really think about. And that's unfortunate, because at the end of the day, these are people's livelihoods, and it just sucks to see. So, like I said, from Mike and I, our hearts go out to everyone who's been affected by this, and just wanted to throw that in there. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, this has been your newest episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course, PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get a podcast at, all that jazz. And follow us on Twitter at GPGC Podcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games like, and our dope giveaways. With that being said, Mike, that's going to do it for episode this week. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, sharing, and being a part of our growing community. Game on, wash your hands, listen to the doctors, Black Lives Matter, and we will see you next week.